Home Title Lock. Mm-hmm. Home Title Lock is our sponsor this half hour. This is the number one growing crime in America, with according to the FBI, with people actually stealing your house.
Yeah, well, and you know, and most importantly, they steal the equity behind it. You know, you're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars you have in equity potentially in a home, especially if you have an elderly relative or you just happen to have your house paid off. By the way, congratulations on that. But thieves can come and take that equity, take out big home equity loans, and then you get stuck with the bills. You do not want to try to unwind a problem like this. No bank, no identity theft program, no insurance is going to protect you. Do what I did, do what Glenn has done. Sign up for Home Title Lock. They put this barrier around your home's title and mortgage. And if somebody tries to screw with you, they help shut it down for you. It's a $100 search they have for free to make sure you're not already in trouble with this. HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com is the place to go.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, today is a big day in America. Today, or tonight at 9 o'clock, we find out if we're going to be a nation under another national emergency. Is this a national emergency? What does that mean? If the president says we're just going to spend the money, does he have the legal right to do it? What are the ramifications of it? I thought we should start with a pro and con list, and I want to hear from you the pros and the cons of having the president declare a national emergency tonight to be able to get the border built. Pros and cons. Let's look at this dispassionately, because I know what my passion says. I'm guessing I know what your passion says. Let's look at the facts first. We do that right now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to it. We, by the way, for anybody who is just joining us, haven't listened for a while, we have taken a lot of the commercials out of the first half hour, and we only break a couple of times. This is one of it for 1 minute, so we can tell you about a sponsor and then right back into the show. First of all, it is Field of Greens. There's some fake news out there about superfoods, and you can tell right away what a superfood is. If you pick up a superfood, what does that imply?
It's food.
It's food, mm-hmm. And it has everything you need in it, right?
Right, it's food.
Okay, right. You wouldn't pick up a superfood and look and see a label on it that says supplement facts. Why would you need a supplement if it's a superfood? That is how you tell. They don't put the extra stuff in a superfood. That's why Field of Greens is here. Now, Field of Greens is something for somebody like me who hates greens. I hate them. I would like to banish all people who talk about kale as if it's something good.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell me it's how good it is for me.
I'm in for an executive order on that one.
Right, but
banning kale.
Do not tell me that. Oh no, you're going to love
kale
it.
People.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. Kale people have to go away. Mm-hmm. You don't have to eat any kale. In fact, you don't have to have a salad ever again with Field of Greens, because it is a superfood. There is no supplemental facts supplemental additions to it. It is, you look at the little bottle that it comes in, and it says nutrition facts, not supplemental facts.
You can add it to pretty much anything you eat or drink.
Yep.
And get all the vegetables you need, so you don't have to deal with, you know,
fruits and vegetables. Potentially
your spouse,
right,
telling you about how unhealthy you are.
15% off your first order at BrickHouseGlenn.com. That's BrickHouseGlenn.com. Promo code Glenn. All right. What would you say if I told you that officially we were already under a state of emergency? 28 different states of emergencies. They never, ever go away. You can't, once you declare a national emergency, the president does, and I make no mistake, I believe he has this power to do it, and I think it's an important power for the president to have. But the way it's designed, it never, ever goes away, because it takes both houses to just majority vote, no, but then it goes to the president, and he has to veto. Well, he's the guy who just proposed it. So he's not going to veto it.
He is going,
or
to, veto
he is going to veto it. Mm-hmm. Then you have to have 2/3 of Congress overturn his veto. Well, that almost never happens. And in fact, in history, it never has happened. But if you look at the national emergencies that we have, they all kind of fall into the same category. Who was the first president to declare a national emergency? Can you even guess? It was Jimmy Carter, and it happened in 1979. So we went from 1791 or 1789 to 1979 without a national emergency. We went through World War One, World War Two. We went through the Civil War, no national emergencies. 1979 was the first, and I want you to listen to the pattern. Blocking the Iranian government property, November 14th, 1979. So that's what Obama, when he flew all that cash back, that's what Obama was usurping now. He was giving back their property. But that still remains. We're still under a state of emergency blocking property.
So Carter did it against Iran. And right. then, you know, the billions of dollars we sent over there was essentially the other side of that transaction. They were complaining Correct. About how we kept their stuff all this time.
Correct.
Yeah.
But we never got rid of the national emergency.
Right.
Proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, November 14th, 1994. So the next guy who did it was Bill Clinton. Now, listen to this. So the first president to ever do it, 1979, was Carter. He only did it once. Then Reagan never did it. Bush never did it. Then 1994, Clinton gets out his pen. Proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, then prohibiting transactions with terrorists who threatened to disrupt the Middle East peace process in 1995, prohibiting certain transactions with respect to the development of the Iranian petroleum resources, 1995. Also in 1995, blocking assets and prohibiting transactions with significant narcotic traffickers. Then in 96, regulations of the anchorage and movement of vessels with respect to Cuba. Then in 97, blocking Sudanese government property and prohibiting transactions with Sudan. Blocking property of persons who threaten international stabilization efforts in the Western Balkans. That's 2001. So now George Bush is getting into it. And here's where it really picks up the speed. Continuation of export control regulations, August 17th, 2001. Declaration of national emergency by reason of certain terrorist attacks, September 14th, 2001. Then September 23rd, blocking property and prohibiting transactions with persons who commit, threaten to commit, or support terrorism. Then blocking property of persons undermining democratic process or institutions in Zimbabwe, March 6, 2003. Then protecting the development fund for Iraq and certain other property in which Iraq has an interest, March 2003. Blocking property of persons and prohibiting the export of certain goods to Syria, May 2004. Blocking property of certain persons undermining democratic processes and institutions in Belarus, June 2006. Also, in October 2006, blocking property of certain persons contributing to the conflict of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Then, blocking property and persons undermining the sovereignty of Lebanon and its democratic process and institutions in 2007. Then, we have in June 2006, continuing certain restrictions with respect to North Korea and North Korean nationalists. And that is 2008. Now we're into Obama time. Blocking property of certain persons continuing to the conflict in Somalia. Blocking property of certain transactions related to Libya. Blocking property of transnational criminal organizations. Blocking property of persons threatening peace, security, stability in Yemen. Blocking property of certain persons contributing to the situation in Ukraine. That's in 2014. Blocking property of certain persons with respect to South Sudan. In 14, blocking the property of certain persons contributing to the conflict in the Central African Republic, blocking property suspending the entry of certain persons contributing to the situation in Venezuela, then blocking the property of certain persons engaging in significant malicious cyber-enabled activities in 2015, and the last one that Obama did, blocking property of certain persons contributing to the situation in Burundi. That's in 2015. Now, what do those all have in common?
They're all blocking property and possessions of potential terrorists or, you know, newly inflamed hotspots around the globe.
Right.
None of it would fall under the, you know, category of new spending or anything like that. It's right. All blocking property, and that's what it's been used for.
Right. It is making sure that people, the bad guys, don't have access to more funds or transfer funds across international borders, or that we do anything to help the bad guys. That's what the emergency action has been since it was first used in 1979.
And I would say, too, another thing that I think a lot of those have in common, not all, certainly not September 14th, 2001, but most of them, I would say, are lower on the priority list of American sovereignty and security than the border security issue is. Like, what's going on in Burundi might be very important, and it probably is, but I would not put that on the level of
September 11th,
or building a wall on our southern border. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I think, like, that doesn't mean that there was no reason to use those things, but it, you know.
So here's the issue. It's not since 2006 that the Americans have said we want a border wall. That's when Congress, including Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, signed into law a border wall.
Secure Fence Act of 2006.
Correct. We signed it in, and everybody in the Senate and Congress tried to convince me, oh, no, Glenn, this time it's real. No, it's not. I mean, I knew it wasn't, and you knew it wasn't. They had no intention of doing it. They were just placating the American people. But this doesn't start in 2006. The reason why it was popular for Obama and Hillary Clinton to sign it in 2006 was because we all knew what happened just a few short years ago in 2001, and no one was willing to do anything about it. Our borders, north and south, are trouble. But there's another piece of the puzzle. The overwhelming problem that we have is overstayed visas. And they've never fixed that either. That was the number one problem on September 11th. That's still the number one problem with terror. And a border wall won't have anything to do with that. It won't fix it. But I don't think that's where the American people are. They know that. They don't think this is a fix-all. They just think this is one box that needs to be checked, and no one will ever check it. If I'm reading the American people right, the American people know that this is a problem, and they're tired of waiting around and being told by one party or the other, we're going to fix that, because Bill Clinton said he would fix that. Senator Barack Obama said he would fix that. Hillary Clinton said she would fix that. George Bush said he would fix that. No one has fixed that. No one is serious about it except the American people. So tonight, I think people are going to be split in two camps. The Democrats, who have been brainwashed that, oh, no, this is just racist. No, it's not. They're going to be against it, even though their leaders signed it in 2006, when all the rest of the Democrats remembered September 11th. They're going to be brainwashed, and they're going to say, no, this is nothing about nothing but race. What does the right say about it? Let's start on our pro and con list in 1 minute. I want to invite you to take a risk-free trial of an investment course that we had former Wall Street hedge fund manager Tika Tiwari create just for you. It's an educational course designed to help people starting out with a very small amount of money, hopefully to grow it into a much larger pile of money. Now, Bitcoin is not where anyone thought it would be this year, including Tika. Signs are still positive that it should be going up this year. There is actually all of the signs say it should have gone up last year. It is just this overwhelming sense of negativity
on Bitcoin because of what happened, where it went out of control and then it crashed, but it didn't crash back to its lows. It's still, what is it at? 6,000?
4,000. 4,000? Four times as much as it was before the run began.
Correct. So it's, you're still making money unless you bought at the peak, which you shouldn't do. So now what does this mean? It means you should educate yourself and find out all you can about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. SmartCryptoCourse.com. Go to SmartCryptoCourse.com. I believe everybody should have at least $100, and you should never, ever invest in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency more than you are prepared to lose, because it's extraordinarily volatile. However, because it's extraordinarily volatile, there's a chance to make real money, but do not put more money in it than you are prepared to lose. Think of this as Vegas, or, you know, you're going to go out on a weekend with your sweetheart and you're going to spend that money. Talk to her or talk to him and say, should we not do that weekend? Should we put it into cryptocurrency? Take the course and find out. SmartCryptoCourse.com. That's SmartCryptoCourse.com or 877-PBL-BECK. That's 877-PBL-BECK. Pause for 10 seconds, station ID. This is the Glenn Beck Program. So, Stu, let's look at what... Let's start a pro and con list. The pros, as I see it, is that this would mean that there would be a permanent solution. And I think that's the number one thing that conservatives are looking for. We're tired of having this same battle and being told we're going to take care of it, knowing that they're not going to take care of it. They're not going to be serious about it. And so this provides something that goes beyond this president, and it's done.
Right, unless they decide to blow it up or tear it down, which I wouldn't put necessarily past the future president.
Right. But, well, I could see them not repairing it, just let it go to waste. Okay, so you have a permanent solution. You have more security. You haven't solved the problem, but you have more security.
Definitely improvement. Right.
Right. Yes. A move in the right direction, a big move in the right direction. And you have accountability. Right.
Accountability. How do you mean that?
You have somebody who's willing to say, I'm responsible for this.
Sure. Yeah. That's nice to hear occasionally. Yeah,
right. The buck stops here. That's the one thing that I think both Republicans and Democrats want. Maybe not on the same things, but they want someone to say, buck stops here. And that is the real problem with like government shutdowns and things like that, is the more we don't believe in the federal government, the more we want someone, anyone, just to step in and say, I'll fix it, because we think these things are common sense. I believe the border wall is common sense. I mean, I want a bigger door. I want more qualified people coming in. I want the best people from all over the world to come in. But what I don't want are people coming in through the windows and through the side doors that we don't know who's in the house. And I don't want that in any way, shape, or form. I don't want that from Sweden, and I don't want that from Libya, and I don't want that from Mexico.
It seems like, the basic
common sense
when it comes to having a country and having borders, you have to be able to control them if they get out of control, right? And no one's talking about a fence between us and Canada, because that is not an out-of-control border. This one is, and we have to do something to stop it. The fence would help quite a bit, and they've already let us down after we've elected them and they've passed bills promising it.
Okay.
Including votes from Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. This was not a Republican measure very recently.
No, it was 2006. And that's the thing the president's going to hang his hat on tonight, I think. If he does this, he may not do this. I think he's going to.
You mean as far as actually saying the state of emergency and shifting funds to pay for the border wall without passing the law?
Yes.
You think he's going to do it?
I do. Do you?
if I had to guess, I'd say yes. There's a lot of reporting on it that's mm-hmm. definitely what he's considering. He may also just be threatening it, right? Like, he may be saying, like, look, I'm going to do this either way. You might as well get your DACA and give me the money, because I'm going to go do this as a
He may say, you've got 7 days.
Right. Might put a window or mm-hmm. 30 days, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And then the shutdown thing is getting to those elevated levels, too, where mm-hmm. it's starting to, you're already mm-hmm. starting to see the reporting about people who, you know, the tax refunds they've solved in the short term. You've got the food stamps thing that's mm-hmm. right around the corner. There's several different mm-hmm. programs that will start becoming major news stories if mm-hmm. they don't get this fixed by then.
I wonder who's writing this tonight. This really has to be written really, really well.
And his goal, right, mm-hmm. is to make people understand the seriousness of the border as separately from some political issue, right? His goal is to say to the person who's in the middle who cares about our security, but isn't a partisan or isn't a huge Trump person or whatever, to convince them that, hey, you know, you've been hearing all this stuff and they always say that I'm lying about this. Here are the facts. And this really is a serious situation, and we may need to make it a national emergency.
This is the first time that he's done anything from the Oval Office. He has not given a speech behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office, and not an address to the nation. Correct?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Look it up, will you? Yeah. Marissa, I'm pretty sure that is...
A primetime address.
Primetime. Yeah. This is his first primetime address from behind the Resolute desk. The Resolute desk is generally reserved for really important speeches, you know, milestone mm-hmm. kind of speeches, to where we're going to war, or there's a national emergency, or there's something really grave that we need to talk about. Also, it has traditionally been used for the farewell address.
Interesting to see the media struggle yesterday with, should we even take this? Is this something that we should even take?
Yes.
First of all, yes. Second of all, if you would have even suggested that under Barack Obama, you would have been a racist for suggesting it.
Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. This one is not a show. This one's not a show. This is an address from the Oval Office, from behind the Resolute desk. And I want to look at the pros and cons on this, because this one is game changing.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So if you're looking to hire the right person and you want to do it the right way, it's, you know, you can go the old way, which basically is throwing darts at a board, making, you know, putting out a job description and then hoping that the right person is going to see it. But ZipRecruiter has something different. They go out and they find the quality candidates for you. This is powerful matching technology. And what they do is they scan thousands of resumes to identify the people with the right skills, the right education, the right experience. Then they go out and they actively invite those people to apply for your job, which is why the average person gets a qualified candidate within an hour of their post. There's nothing on earth like this. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it for free.
Join the Blaze TV at BlazeTV.com/Beck. Use the code Beck and you're going to get some savings. So you might as well do it. Back in just a second with Pat Gray.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. For any longtime listener of the program, you know that Jeffy has been one of our producers for almost 20 years and had a massive, massive, almost fatal heart attack over the holiday. Had 100% blockage in one artery and 50% blockage in the other. About 80 or 90% of the people that have a heart attack like this don't survive. Somehow or another, this iron giant did, and he's back today, and we will have him on the program to talk about that coming up in about an hour and a half from now. You don't want to miss a second of the show. We're talking about the president and his address tonight from the Oval Office. This is the first from behind the Resolute desk. And this is an important one. He's going to talk about the national emergency, whether he declares a national emergency or not. We don't know. But this is a legal way for the president to get the wall built. It is a highly controversial way to get it built. He is going to apparently, possibly, evoke the bill that was passed by both houses, including signed by Barack Obama, then Senator, and Senator Hillary Clinton, to build a border wall in 2006. And he's going to say the Pentagon has the money and this is a national emergency. We're bringing Pat Gray in from the Pat Gray Unleashed podcast, which airs right before this program.
And you can sign up, by the way, at blazetv.com. Slash Beck. Use the code Beck and you can get the access to this show and News and Why It Matters, which Pat is also on, and Pat Gray Unleashed and a bunch of other shows.
Stephen Crowder comes back, I think, January 17th,
I think, yeah.
Which is great, all brand new Stephen Crowder episodes. All right, so we're trying to make a pro and con list. And Pat, on the pro, I have, it's permanent. It's a permanent solution. Mm-hmm. It does help with security. It provides accountability, which I think everybody wants. Somebody wants somebody to stand up and say, I'm responsible. But it also, I would say that it also helps in the drug war.
For sure.
I mean, that is a national emergency. What we have coming across our borders right now, our southern border in particular, with fentanyl and heroin and OxyContin, that is a national emergency.
I expect that to be a big part of the pitch tonight, too, because that's, you know, that is an escalating issue with opioids and everything else. And part of that is related to heroin is coming across the border. It's where most of it comes from.
Yeah.
As far as a pro, I don't think it'll happen any other way. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to do it.
The only way to do it.
That's the only way to do it.
So I have a whole buttload of stuff on the pro list. On the con list,
there's one, really.
There's really only one.
It's not the right way to do it.
How? What do we do when somebody, the next president, comes in and tell me that it's, you know, Beto or Beto, he comes in, or
Kamala Harris,
Hillary Clinton, and she comes in and she says climate change is a national emergency.
They're and already they, saying that without law backing
correct.
It, but they're already saying it.
They could also do that regardless of whether he declares an emergency to build the wall. It could happen anyway. But I get the point. And the point is this the right way to do it? And of course, it isn't. But it won't get done any other way. I think we've seen that. It was ordered. It was by law in 2006. The fence shall be built. Mm-hmm. And somehow, it wasn't.
Well, somehow happened with Kay Bailey Hutchinson.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So, she came in and said, well, a fence where it's appropriate and you can use other technologies and security in other areas.
So it just
went
undone.
Which I agree with, but they never did anything about it.
Right. No. They haven't done any of it.
They haven't done any of it.
And only now are they even repairing some of the broken down areas of the fence. That's the only thing they've done so far.
And so that also goes to the permanency of that. That is that is, to me, a con. Because you can build this, but then not repair it. Future presidents cannot repair it, and you got nothing.
Yeah.
You got nothing.
Yeah. And it looks like it's changing from a wall to a fence now, again, which I'd take the double fencing because that's really effective, and it's proven to be effective in the San Diego area. They built a double, and in some parts of the border, it's a triple wall. And then they have a space between the fences where the Border Patrol goes up and down, patrolling. And
it's a road, right? I can drive back and forth in vehicles.
Yes. And it reduced illegal crossings by 95%.
I will tell you, you guys didn't go with me when I went to Israel the very first time. Jeffy did. And we went and we were on the border of Syria. We were up on our way to Lebanon. We're on the border of Syria and they had a border fence and it was a double chain link razor wire fence, but all of the sand on each side in the middle and on each side had been raked. Okay, so it was perfectly raked. There are no footprints in it. And I said, can we stop? I want to take a picture of this. And the driver said, you don't want to stop here. And I said, we were out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I mean, nowhere. There, I hadn't seen a house in an hour. There, we were nowhere. And he said, you don't want to stop here. And I said, why? Is it dangerous? And he said, no, but you're going to be questioned. And I said, questioned? There's no way. We haven't seen a car. He said, okay. He said, but do not step on the sand. And I said, okay. So I got out and I took a picture. Before I could turn around, there was a border guard on my tail. Excuse me. Asking me what we were doing, who we were. I mean, that border is secure and it's just two fences, and they rake that sand to be able to see if there's any footprints on it. And you know immediately, and they actually patrol it. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. They take it seriously.
The wall to fence, you know, conversation is meaningless, right? Like, what we want is a barrier to stop. Like, I understand that that's what Trump said, and that's why the media is so focused on it, because they want to prove that Trump didn't come through with his promise. I think the American people, though, look at that and say, what we want is people stop from crossing the border with some sort of physical barrier.
I think the reason why Trump people and me want a wall and not a fence is because I don't believe that they will actually patrol that fence. I don't think they're actually going to patrol it. Maybe this president will. Mm-hmm. You think the next president will? You go with wire cutters and cut it out if they don't care. But a fence,
or a wall is more difficult.
Right. A wall is more permanent. Scale. Yeah.
Especially the one he described at one of his campaign stops with the concrete and steel rebar.
30 or 40 feet high.
Yeah, that would be difficult.
It would be difficult. I mean, again, if you don't patrol it, you could take down any wall, right? I mean, like, they're going to have to still patrol it at some level, but it would be more difficult. And that's the issue here, is to try to make these things more difficult.
So where do you stand on this?
Well, did we finish with the cons list? I mean, you think that's it? Just the fact that it's just not the right process of doing it.
I think so.
That's what I think. Yeah, because I'm absolutely in favor.
Of a wall.
Of a wall or fence. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, because, I mean, if you look back at, let's say, the nuclear option for judges, right? The nuclear option for judges was initially done not for Supreme Court justices, but just for normal judges to be pushed through. And so the Democrats did that first. The Republicans always could have done it when they were in. But the Democrats did that first. And so it was easy for Republicans to come in and say, look, they already did it. Right. They were used that as a justification. It wasn't even a controversial move, really, when they did it with Gorsuch. I mean, they changed the entire process of the way we voted on Supreme Court justices with Gorsuch.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really even a story. I mean, that. So I think when you take that off the table and you say, well, we can use a national emergency for our priorities as far as policy if we can't get them done through laws. This is one of the things I did not like about the Barack Obama DACA thing. You know, there are a lot of people who think that people who came across the border with their parents when they were, say, 7 years old and are now, you know, whatever, 19, should be able to stay. They're dreamers, that whole conversation. Then they tried to pass the DREAM Act 900,000 times with some Republican support at times, and they couldn't get it done. So Barack Obama said, well, we'll just do it DACA. We'll just do DACA. And we'll just get it done and go around the law. The same thing is happening here, I think. There's an argument to be made that Donald Trump has said, correctly, that we need this money. We need to secure the border. Like, this is a real problem. Give me the money, put it in a law. They're not putting it in a law, so now he's coming up with a new way of doing it, and that is bothersome. DACA, I don't like it.
DACA was not a national emergency, and I think between drugs and illegal immigration, especially when you see who's coming over, you have people from the Middle East coming over our border. You also have people from Venezuela and Honduras that do not wish this country well. Mm-hmm. So it's not like just dreamers are coming across the border.
You have MS-13.
MS-13. You can clearly make a case against this. What'll be interesting is this will go through the courts. But if the courts held up DACA and then say no to this president, I think you're headed for real trouble.
And the court should not be able to overrule the president on this. There's a lot of people saying, oh, this is unconstitutional. It is not unconstitutional. It's a past law. He has the right to do it. He's using it in a completely new way, which is expanding the power. initially they passed this with a check and balance in which the Congress could override his his situation. Like if someone comes in and says this is a national emergency, Congress could say, well, no, it's not, we don't believe you. That got thrown out in the courts. So there's no check and balance other than overriding a veto.
So we're all agreed that we want the fence, and we think that this is a national emergency between drugs, MS-13, and other things that are going on. But we all agree, good heavens, please not this way.
I'm afraid of the ramifications of it. However, best case scenario here, maybe he talks about it, he threatens it, the Democrats get freaked out about it and don't want him to be doing this in the future. So maybe they come along to a negotiation and get back to the table.
I don't think that. I mean,
I don't think they will either.
I think they'll love the fact that you've just expanded the power.
I think so too. I said best case scenario.
Right, for the next person that gets in. Thanks so much. You can listen to Pat Gray on Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and Television Network. BlazeTV.com. Sign up now. Use the promo code Beck. All right, our sponsor this half hour is LifeLock. According to the experts, by the way, we're going to take your phone calls next. According to the experts, some of the cyber security predictions for 2019, ransomware is going to taper off, but it'll still wreak havoc. Crypto jacking and other money-making schemes are going to increase. Government regulation and public sentiment on privacy is going to drive stronger data protection policies. There's going to be more nation-state attacks on and surveillance of individuals in the coming year. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and you're going to miss some identity threats. You're not even going to be looking for them. And that's why there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information is being used, they're going to send you an alert. And then they have a U.S.-based restoration specialist that's going to work to fix it. Not only can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime, monitor all transactions at all businesses, but no matter the season, LifeLock with Norton Security is the right choice to help you look out for the threats that you might miss on your own. So go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Beck. You'll get an additional 10% off your first year. It's promo code Beck. An extra 10% off now at LifeLock.com. Pros and cons. The speech begins at 9:30. So
9:30.
1 minute, 30 seconds after 9 o'clock. They say that it will last no more than 8 minutes. He's not making a case. He's making an announcement of some sort. And it's about security and humanitarian projects on the border. Rob in Maryland, pros and cons.
Hello, Glenn. I am a constitutionalist. They always say conservative or liberal. We need to stop doing that and say constitutionalist.
Yes.
And constitutionally, one thing the government out of the few things they're supposed to do is provide security for the country.
Yes.
I definitely want a wall. I don't want a fence for the reasons you guys already said. Once the fence is up, you can just wire cutters and you're in mm-hmm. if it's not monitored.
Mm-hmm.
The pros, it stops any possible terrorist an easy way in. They can still get in, but at least that way is stopped. The drugs, which is a societal issue, mm-hmm. it helps slow that because mm-hmm. right now they can just bring a mule train in.
Mm-hmm.
Third, it helps us economically. We could pay for that wall in a year from all the benefits they give away. You know, you mm-hmm. can have a welfare state and no mm-hmm. border. I do believe that it would also help the security of the people, you know, that get shot or hit by a drunk driver who shouldn't be here. I mean, people still get hit by drunk drivers, but they aren't, they're supposed to be here. Now, the only con is that, yes, this is not the right way to do it. We really should have it done the proper way, but they're not doing it the proper way. I mean,
as a constitutionalist, where do you end up?
I end up with this constitutional. DACA was not constitutional because this deals with national security.
Okay. All right. I think that's a decent place for a constitutionalist to stand.
I think it's true. I don't think it's unconstitutional. I don't think it's the right way to do this, but it's not unconstitutional. It's It's
the first thing, provide for the common defense.
The National Security, the National Emergency Act, which this is based on, is a really flawed law that I don't think should exist in its current way. Mm-hmm. However, he is using it in a way that is appropriate and legal. I don't think there's any question whether it's legal, per se.
We're going to take your phone calls after the top of the hour as well. Let me go to Marie in Pennsylvania. Hello, Marie.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call and best wishes to Jeffy. Yesterday, Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania declared a statewide emergency disaster declaration on heroin in Pennsylvania. To me, this proves it's an emergency, and Trump should use this. You cannot solve a problem like this at the end of the problem with states calling disasters, but you must solve it at the beginning with a wall to stop it. I've lost friends and family due to these drugs, and I want them stopped.
All right,
have
Marie, I agree with you that drugs are a real problem with the border, and a border wall would go a long way to stopping them. I want to get back into the drug war when we come back, top of the hour.
iTarget Pro is our sponsor here, and as we get started, iTarget Pro is awesome because you can actually be a responsible gun owner without spending all the money at the range or firing holes into your walls.
Right. I don't. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't recommend either of those. If you really want to be good and a good shot and an accurate shot, it's all really about trigger control, and that's why. Everybody recommends you just go to the range over and over and over again and learn how to squeeze that trigger. iTarget Pro helps you do it without any ammunition. You can do it in your living room. You're firing at something. It's dry firing, but you're dry firing at it like a target, and your phone tracks it. It's truly amazing, really groundbreaking. Cool. You'll save a buttload of money. Your whole family can do it if you're all shooters. You can go to itargetpro.com. Use the promo code Glenn. Get 10% off. itargetpro.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So last hour, we started to make a list of the pros and the cons. The president tonight is going to give a speech that they say will last no longer than 8 minutes. So he's not making a case on something. I think he's making an announcement. Is he going to declare a national emergency, or is he going to say, I will in 30 days if we don't solve this? Is he going to just take the reins and say, I'm going to build the border wall? We made a pros and con list, and I've got lots of pros. It's a permanent solution. It does add to our security, doesn't solve our security, but it adds to our security. It stops people, hopefully, like MS-13 and others who are coming across our southern border. It actually helps health care because we'll be saving a lot of money. You can't have open borders and a welfare state. You have to pick one or the other. And also drugs. We have a serious problem with drugs. And on the other side of the border, it helps with humanitarian aid. How many people, the Hondurans, we know, we've heard the interviews with them. How many were used by people saying, oh no, America's just going to open up its doors? How many people are harmed by that? Now, I can only come up with one con, but it's a big one. And we hear from you next.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
First, I want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor. We have changed the show. We've gotten rid of all of the commercials, or a lot of the commercials, so we only have to stop here twice in this half hour and talk to you for 1 minute each time, and then right back into the show. I want to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor, we just had an anniversary. 1 year anniversary. It happened over the holidays. A year ago, I started taking Relief Factor. I was in so much pain. I just couldn't live this way anymore. Just couldn't do it. My wife finally said, just try it. And I'm like, oh, it's full of organic stuff and it's drug free and stop. It's got kale in it, I'm sure. It doesn't have any kale, but it does have four key ingredients, and it was developed by doctors to reduce inflammation. Inflammation just seems like, okay, whatever. Inflammation actually is one of the worst things for our body.
And it's one of the biggest causes of pain that is occurring constantly.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, it's one of those things. If you don't get that to go down, you deal with the pain all the time.
Yeah. So it's really bad. This reduces your inflammation dramatically. At least it does with me. And you can try the 3-week quick start. It's only $19.99. That's $1 a day. You get the trial pack. 70% of the people who order the trial pack for 3 weeks go on to order more month after month. I do. It works for me. I'm part of that 70%.
And it's 100% kale free.
Mm-hmm. Relief Factor. It's relieffactor.com. Okay, so the only thing that I can think of that is a con on national emergency is it is not unconstitutional. The president has a right to do that. We have 22 national emergencies already running. They just never go away.
And there's all sorts of different types of national emergencies as well. I mean, one of the funny things about this is we had a caller last hour saying, well, one of the ways he could do this is because of the opioid thing. I mean, this is a major issue. Well, there is a national health emergency on opioids, a different type of national emergency. Mm-hmm. But until he actually... He promised to declare a national emergency on opioids, but it took him, Trump, a while to do it. And in that time, the media was constantly complaining that he wasn't starting a national health emergency on opioids. Mm-hmm. They complained about it constantly until he finally did wind up doing it. Now that the same, it's a related matter on opioids and heroin and these sorts of things. Now that he wants to do a different type of national emergency, it's a very controversial thing.
Right. So if he's smart, he will include opioids tonight. Mm-hmm. He will include MS-13 and he will include the humanitarian crisis that has been caused here recently by people who wish to do our country no good. Also, he should include that we will open up our immigration and make it easier for qualified people to come in, because I don't think anybody has a problem with immigrants as long as they're here and they're qualified.
Right. What we don't want is MS-13. And again, MS-13 gets this political sort of thing. Oh, that's just Donald Trump trying to scare people. To just put this in perspective, MS-13 kills 4.3 times as many people that die in school shootings in the United States. 4.3 times as many people die at the hands of MS-13 than die in school shootings.
And how much do you hear about MS-13? You don't ever hear about it.
It's just a nonsensical, oh, that's just Donald Trump. He's making things up. MS-13, what is it, just letters and numbers? He's just throwing them together? No, it's a very violent gang, and they kill a lot of people in the United States. It's a real problem.
A real problem.
If you think school shootings are a real problem, which we all know the left does.
This is four times the size. And the president should include things like that if he's going to make the case. Now, the only downside I can see on this is I don't like the way this is being done. I don't want to set this precedent. I don't want the next president coming in and saying, well, I'll tell you, a national crisis, a national emergency, it's global warming. And here are all the stats. Mm-hmm. Because they will.
Yeah, the idea behind a national emergency is to take things that aren't partisan issues. Where there's not disagree, we all know that, you know, Iran, right, is a big problem and we need to stop their funding, right? That was the first time it was used during the hostage crisis, September 11th, right after that. We all know we're all on the same page. The votes are all, you know, 100-0 on issues related to that. This is one where obviously Republicans want it to happen. Democrats don't. But
tell me the thing that isn't partisan now.
Well,
because you could say
it's usually only in emergency situations. But again, that's why there's a national emergency part of this, right?
But isn't part of the national emergency. Look, I'm not making a case for this because I don't think this is the right way to do it. But I'm going to play devil's advocate because there is no other way to do this anymore. Any other way to do it has been destroyed because we've made everything partisan. When you said, well, we should know. Well, we all did. We all knew that 2006, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton signed the wall into law.
It passed 80-19, by the way, in the Senate.
Okay, so it wasn't a partisan issue.
Mm-hmm.
It just is now.
Yep.
Climate change should not be a partisan issue.
But it is a partisan
issue. It is a partisan issue.
At least it's how you deal with it, right?
Yes.
And they will say the same thing. This is not supposed to be a partisan issue. and we should pass, it's a national state of emergency on the climate, and we can do X, Y, and Z. They've tried it. I mean, this is how a lot of times the EPA has tried to control emissions and put new standards on, which are things that, you know, but I've fought against the entire time because they're, I believe those are completely unconstitutional. This one would not be. It's allowed through the law. It would be, not only would it not be unconstitutional, it would be completely legal as far as I can tell. It's just a new way of using this. It does seem to be an expanded use of this power, which, you know, I don't want that ever. I don't ever want to be on the air telling you that the government is taking, is getting more power to do something. No. Because they already have enough. They already have a lot of power. Yeah. And the reason, you know, these things are hard to do. To pass a border wall is going to be hard to do. And that is sort of built into our system.
What's really crazy is we went to the moon in the 1960s when we didn't have the technology. Okay, we didn't have the technology. And we said we have to do this, not mm-hmm. because it's easy, but because it's hard. We don't need any technology. We don't need to do anything
defense
groundbreaking.
Technology has been around for a while.
It's been around for, you know, forever.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. No, hard to do was go to the moon in 1969. That was hard to do. Getting together and putting a fence or a wall up to stop people from coming in across our border, that's not hard. It's just people unwilling to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, we all, if this was the way that this could have been done, we wouldn't have needed to have a conversation about laws for the past 2 years, right? I think everyone realized for the past 2 years, including the administration, that this was not the way to do this. The same way, by the way, that Barack Obama had the conversation about DACA, and they said, we can't do this. We got to pass a law. And then they came up with another way around it. This one is a little bit different. I think it's better than the DACA thing. There's no question about it. But it makes me a little uneasy, doesn't it?
Let's look at it this way. The only reason why we have Donald Trump, the thing that Donald Trump really connected, because remember, he wasn't connecting at the beginning mm-hmm. until he got onto the border wall. When he started on the border wall, that was in his first opening speech. That was like 19th on his list.
Yeah, it was not a high priority in that speech. People forget
Correct.
That. The whole, you know, Mexican rapist thing that he got beat up mm-hmm. on so much. That was like, I want to say it was like 2 or 3% of his speech. Mm-hmm. It was not something he focused on at all.
So as soon as he started to get onto that, that's when he really took off. So let me just posit this, this little thought here, that perhaps because the Democrats refused to deal with what they said they would do in 2008, and they agreed that we needed a wall. But then for some political reason or some other reason that never has been vocalized, they decided not to build the wall. That's the reason why we have Donald Trump as president. Because politicians refused to do exactly not what they said they were going to do, but what they wrote a bill and signed on to do. Mm-hmm. They passed a law that said shall be built, and they never did it. So if you're looking for an ultimate reason why Donald Trump, how could Donald Trump be our president? Well, there it is.
Yeah, it's stuff like that.
Yeah. And the Republicans and the Democrats failed to build a wall that they passed a law.
It's amazing. But I mean, Trump, one thing about Trump in these moments is he doesn't like being on defense, right? So this is a way for him to turn it to being on offense. I've got something I can use and I will use it. I think there's a good chance that he says tonight, you've got 2 weeks to hammer this out. Or I'm going to use this. Mm-hmm. So that puts him on the offensive. You know, again, it makes me uneasy, that sort of power. But still, it is an understandable thing that, I mean, because the basic thing behind it, everybody agrees with, at least in this audience. I think most people on the conservative side, which is this is a real problem. People are ignoring it. We need this thing built. Figure out a way to do it. And that is a completely logical way to think. We just have to make sure we don't cross some barrier we're going to get burned by later.
Correct. Left to them, their own devices, the American people would solve this problem.
Oh, yeah.
We would solve it. Just take all of the politicians out of the mix. Never more than 60 seconds away from more of the show. Let me stop here and just tell you quickly about Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe, the biggest complaint. Imagine having a business where your biggest complaint is, wish I had more. Can you imagine that? Wish I had more. Wish it was bigger. Well, they make a bigger safe. Liberty Safe. That is the number one complaint. Wish I would have bought a bigger one. They're the number one safe manufacturer in the nation, and they've sold more than 2 million safes. And they've done it for a reason. They lead the industry in technology and innovation. They offer exclusive features like military locking bars, which is great. Their military safe is so cool. Heat expanding fire seals that are second to none. It's why we keep all of our really most important documents that we have. And I mean, you know, we're talking about an 1820 copy of the Constitution that is extraordinarily rare. We're talking, you know, original George Washington and Thomas Jefferson documents. We put them in a Liberty safe because nobody's going to be able to break in. It could be sucked up in, you know, in a tornado here in the center of the country and dropped three blocks away. And we know it's going to be closed. The place could burn down. The fire seals give us the best chance of that document not being destroyed. That's why we have a Liberty Safe. Why do you have a Liberty Safe? Find out your own reasons. LibertySafe.com. Go to LibertySafe.com. 10 seconds. Station ID. This is the Glenn Beck Program. We go to Taylor in Indiana. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, I'm with you guys on, it's not the right way to do it, but you kind of touched on the pro that I was going to mention, and that I think this energizes his base for 2020. I didn't vote for Trump. I voted for Evan McMullen, kind of like you guys suggested, but I think he's going to use this if he does, in fact, build the wall. He's going to say, all right, these obstructionist Democrats didn't allow me to get this done. I built this wall, and I just think that energizes his base. Like you guys said, people were fed up, and that's kind of what got him elected.
Mm-hmm. I think that if he doesn't build the wall, he's in trouble, because that was the number one thing he promised to do, and he had a chance, and then he folded on it, which was shocking to his base, I think. And I think he knows, I've got to build this darn wall.
And I used to be in that camp where, like, hey, all right, now we're in power. Let's just ram it down their throat. But like you said, that pendulum is going to swing the other way. And that's why I'm in that con camp. It's just not the right way to do it, because he's not going
to be in. It's easy to say, I agree with it, but it's not the right way to do it. Have you made a decision yet on, are you for or against it if he says, I'm going to build it anyway?
I'd be against it. I mean, you have that feel good. It's like, all right, cool, it's done, but it's the wrong way to do it. And I would not be for it the way that he's proposing.
Because there's a tough thing here.
Thanks, Taylor.
And that's a great perspective, I think. It's one of those things where we were having this conversation. Okay, well, if it's not going to get done any other way, and we want it done. So how do we get it done? Well, in our system, a lot of times there's a lot of stuff you want to do that you don't get done. Right? Like, that's just part of what the founders designed. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I would love to get done, like getting the income tax to zero, right? But I can't do it, unfortunately, right now. I think that is you have to continue to make your case, and you have to continue to prove to people that this really is the issue that it is. And you've seen, you know, you might say, like, right now, and it's understandable, there's no way this is ever going to get done. You know, the Democrats oppose it and blah, blah, blah. But again, as you point out, this actually was passed. This isn't something that you can never pass. It actually was passed fairly recently. In 2010, Democrats were polled, and it was a 50-50 issue among Democrats whether you could do it, and it was obviously favored among independents and Republicans. There's no reason this debate can't swing back to the sensible side. But you know, right now it's become, unfortunately, an issue of whether you like Donald Trump or not is the question, not whether this is an actual issue. And that is, I think, the fault of the media, and I think it's the fault of turning everything into a partisan issue, even when it's blatantly obvious it would be helpful for our security. But there's no reason we can't at some point get back to some sensible discussion on this, right? We've already been there.
So I started teaching the kids the Constitution over the holiday. That was my Christmas present to them.
Wow.
And well, they loved it.
They've all turned atheists. Yeah, yes.
We've turned, I spent about an hour every night for a week of the holiday with the whole family. And we went over the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And I'm struck by the preamble of the Constitution. the only capitalized words in the Constitution. They're huge. They jump off the page. We the people. And we the people, this was a different idea. No constitution, no government was formed by the people. It was formed by the elites. But this is the people. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect nation, not a perfect nation, a more perfect nation, meaning we're never going to be perfect. Can we stop expecting that? A more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, and provide for the common defense. Now, let's just take those apart. Has this government established justice? Do you feel that that justice is being served right now? I think that is the one where they're the closest. We have made some mistakes. We're trying to correct those mistakes.
Meaning legal justice?
Yes.
Like you commit a crime and you have a chance to prove your case. Obviously, it's not perfect, but...
Right. With we the people, it's not perfect, but it's getting better, I think. With they the government, they're destroying justice. There is no such thing as justice, right? You look at established justice, ensure domestic tranquility. I think that one's all solved.
Everyone's tranquil.
Right. They're doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. The biggest irritant in our society is government. It's the parties. It's the politicians that are coaxing us into bonfires. Don't you think? They are so unconstitutional right now. They're not helping us promote domestic tranquility. They're not promoting that. They're promoting the opposite. Provide for the common defense. Pretty good. Pretty good. Except that's where this one falls in.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to solving the problem that we had September 11th, they haven't solved that. The number one problem is overstayed visas. It's still the number one problem. It's not the border. It's overstayed visas. Promote the general welfare. Notice it says provide common defense and promote the general welfare.
Hmm. That's interesting. It doesn't guarantee it.
No.
It guarantees defense.
Guarantees defense. Have to provide defense. It has to promote general welfare. So in other words, it has to do things like encourage science, encourage business, encourage entrepreneurship. It needs to promote the things that would be good for society. Hang on just a second. They're supposed to ensure domestic tranquility. They're not ensuring that. They're supposed to ensure that. They're supposed to promote the general defense. They are doing a pretty good job on that. And they're supposed to promote general welfare. The entire thing is upside down.
Mm.
The entire thing is upside down. To secure the blessings of liberty. I don't think anybody in Washington even looks at liberty as a blessing anymore. I think many of them think it's a curse. There are too many people out there doing things that we don't even know about. Follow the Constitution. Follow the Constitution, and it will not lead you astray.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I want to talk to you about real estate agents that I trust. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is something that Tanya and I started, 5 years ago, and the results are truly, truly remarkable. We built a real estate company, Real Estate Agents I Trust, and it's actually not a real estate company. We go around the country because of some of the other businesses that I do. We happen to know all of these great real estate agents all over the country. And I thought there's got to be a way for people to be able to be connected to these people. So we're not running a real estate agency. These people don't work for us. We find them. We fully vet them. We found a bunch of people. The first thing is, do they listen to this show? Do they have those values? And then we put you in touch with them. They sell your home. on time and for the most amount of money, and we track it the entire way. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Sell your home now. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
BlazeTV.com is the place to go to subscribe. Go to BlazeTV.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck to get $10 off.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. There's a lot to talk about today, and we're going to continue to take your phone calls. The pro and con list on national emergency with the border. I think the consensus so far is, I want the border wall, don't like the way this is being done or possibly being done. We'll know tonight as the president addresses the nation at 9 p.m., supposed to be an 8-minute speech, no longer, according to the White House. And we'll continue to talk about that here in just a second. I also, because it's a new year, I really want to focus on the big issues. And I was overwhelmed during the holiday with the number of people that wrote in and said how close they were to giving up. How they had wrestled with depression, how they had been wrestling with alcoholism, and how they had a new commitment to continue another day. And sometimes we forget about how alone people can feel. And it's because we don't talk about these things, because we kind of bury them. And they are kind of first principles. They're the things that we should be talking about with each other. We should be looking out for one another. But sometimes these things make us uncomfortable and you don't know what to say. I know this is true for me in many cases with veterans, because I hold them in such high regard. I just don't necessarily know what I would do in their situation. And it causes me sometimes to not say anything. One of the biggest regrets in my life, I am good friends with Chris Kyle's wife, but I was not friends with Chris because I stood at a charity fundraiser shoulder to shoulder with him, and I only shook his hand and thanked him for his service. I didn't even talk to him because I was so intimidated. Our soldiers are going through real tough times, but it's those who refuse to give up that make the difference. Our partners at StoryCorps have a great story to tell between a Marine Corporal, Zach Skiles. He was deployed to Iraq in 2003. He was there at the beginning of the invasion. While serving on the front lines, he lost 5 friends within a 2-week period. And when he came home, he had a hard time adjusting. He had a hard time holding down a job. He found himself homeless. So StoryCorps sat down with him and his father, Scott, to talk about the difficulties that he faced during the war and how he got back on his feet. This is an amazing story. Listen.
I remember saying to you, every gift that I've been given, I don't have a better one than to be your dad. And I remember you smiling, saying, I love you too, Dad. And then you got out of the car and went to war. So what was life like after you came home?
I was pretty sure someone was going to kick down my door. And I was scared to go to sleep. I couldn't sustain employment. I couldn't pay rent and pay for groceries. It all just kind of fell apart. And then I was homeless. The crazy thing was that I didn't think that there was anything super wrong. You know, the nighttime, I stayed on coastal trails and hiking trails, and in the daytime, I could just pass out at a park.
There was a time period where I didn't know where you were. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult to watch anyone let go of hope. But when it's your son, it's excruciating. I remember great relief that you decided to go into inpatient treatment. And I remember one night you getting out of the car to walk back into the treatment building. It was dark and your head was kind of down. And for a moment, I could feel the weight you were carrying. As I watched you walk into that building, I uttered these two words that I don't know if they were some kind of prayer or not, but they just came out, "My son." And I was absolutely overcome with grief and love and the beginning of hope. What is life like for you now?
It's pretty cool.
You graduated undergrad.
Yes.
I heard summa cum laude. I'm just asking. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I remember my dad saying this to me, and I feel it is so true between you and I. It is your life, so you have the last word. But then as your dad, that gives me the second to the last word. And the second to the last word is, I believe in you. And I'm on your side.
There's a powerful thing I learned from somebody who had been kept as a sex slave in Mexico. She had chain scars around her neck, scars all over her back where she had been beaten and burned and chained for a couple of years. I was recording something with her, and I said, I want you to say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I used to be a slave. And she said, no, I won't say that. And I said, okay, why? And she said, because I never considered myself a slave. They may have chained me, but I never considered myself a slave. Our lives are a blank piece of paper. And we are the only authors of it. If someone else is authoring it, or if you don't like the way the story is going, open a new page and start again. It sounds ridiculous because it's too easy, but it's true. Dave Issay from StoryCorps is with us now. Dave, can you give me an update on Zach?
Glenn, Happy New Year. It's great to talk to you. Zach is getting his PhD now in psychology. And I will say, you know, this was the first time, as you know, a StoryCorps interview is two people who care about one another coming to have a conversation. And we've had a dozen big special initiatives through the years. And this one is part of the Military Voices Initiative, focusing on the voices of post 9/11 vets and their families. The first time they ever had this conversation, first time they ever talked about what happened to Zach in Iraq. And I don't get a chance to meet a lot of the participants in StoryCorps. We've had 500,000 people who participate. But when I'm giving a talk, sometimes people from Stories will come into the talk. And Zach's dad, Scott, came to a talk a little while ago. And this goes back a little bit to what you were saying about the woman who you had interviewed, who was a sex slave. And it reminded me of that Mandela quote where he said, Nelson Mandela, they can chain my body, but they mm-hmm. can't chain my soul. But mm-hmm. Zach's dad, Scott, after I played his story, handed me just a very brief quote, which stuck with me. And it just said, here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid.
So how can people get involved in your new initiative, One Small Step? This is trying to bring people together that maybe don't see the world politically the same way, but you're preserving the voices of people who are very, very different from one another, but can find common ground. How do people get involved in that?
So we have, you can come to our website. It's StoryCorps, StoryCorps.org/one small step, which is one word. And you described exactly what we're trying to do. We've had 500,000 people who know and love each other, like Zach and Scott, come to StoryCorps. And now we're working to put people on opposite sides of the political divide together, just to not to talk about politics, just to remember that someone you disagree with is also a human being.
Have you started it yet? I mean, have you actually started to record these yet?
Oh yes, we have. And it's it's kind of addictive. It's a beautiful thing to see, and none of it will surprise you. You know, it brings out kind of the opposite impulses of social media. When you do a StoryCorps interview, each of those interviews goes to the Library of Congress, so your great 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 grandkids can hear the voice of your grandmother or your friend, whoever you're talking to, your voice. And unlike social media, which is so disposable, you know, StoryCorps is the ultimate kind of long game, right? So when you come to a StoryCorps booth and you're talking to someone across the political divides, you know that your great, great, great grandkids are going to listen to this someday. So you really are your kind of best, highest self.
Yeah.
So it's just a beautiful thing to see. And you know, I think that it's enough already, right? Go ahead. In the country with what's going on. And it's just an existential crisis. It's dangerous. And we've forgotten that we belong to one another.
I can't wait to hear some of those voices that you're collecting. If you want to be a part of this, go to StoryCorps.org/onesmallstep. And that is, again, one word. Dave, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again.
Glenn, it's great to talk to you. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Bye-bye. Simply Safe is our sponsor this half hour. Simply Safe, putting things off can be a kind of a bad thing. You can put little things off, but, you know, hey, that spot, that lump probably should get done today. You know, I'm worried about the security of my children and the security of my house. Probably should be done today. Other things, you know, you can put them off. This one is so easy to take care of with SimplySafeBeck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com. You go to the website. You know how many windows you have. You know how many doors you have. You don't need some guy coming in to upsell you on a bunch of crap.
Yeah, but they can come in and count them officially. That's a big difference.
Well,
you
yeah,
can't
sure.
count them
you
yourself.
Can't get them out of the house. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Home security system with control panel, motion sensor, and wireless remote.
Ooh.
Okay?
Wireless.
It's pre-wired door or window sensors, pre-wired.
Ooh.
Free. And all it is $27.99 per month. This is, I got this in the mail from ADT. It is the lowest monitoring price of $27.
I like that. It's not really comparing it to anything.
No,
it's just the lowest. Maybe it's the lowest they offer.
Yeah, right? It is. $27.99. No, the lowest monitoring price is $14.99. And you're not locked into any kind of long-term contract. In fact, there's no contract whatsoever. You're in control. There's no wiring. Nobody's going to come to wire your doors or anything else. You got it done. It's easy, it's fast, it is inexpensive, it's the right way to do it. It's SimplySafeBeck.com. Go there now, protect yourself, your home, your kids. SimplySafeBeck.com. It's interesting, a couple of things. Just a quick note on the, remember the Russian lawyer, the woman who had worked for the KGB? She was in the Trump Tower in 2016. You know, at first they said, no, she's not a Russian, you know, spy. And then you find out later, oh, yeah, actually she is. She's just been charged. But there's an important word that the media is leading out. Charged in an unrelated matter.
Yeah, unrelated case out of New York. Natalia Veselnitskaya, is that it? I can't never get it
yeah,
right.
Yeah, sure it is.
Sure. Whatever it is, there's a bunch of syllables and Ks. Mm-hmm. And that word, she was charged in an unrelated matter, having nothing to do with the meeting whatsoever. However, MSNBC is promoting it as lawyer who met with Donald Trump Jr. charged in obstruction of justice case.
Yeah, well,
like, well yeah, but... Yeah,
but not this... Not this
the, nothing not to the do...
One, not the one we've all been talking about.
Right.
It's incredible, the spin on things. The other thing that I want to point out here quickly is that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are going to be delivering the rebuttal to the president. Now, the president's going to speak for 8 minutes.
Is it the president's birthday? Like, why are they doing that? Is it just giving him gifts? I don't understand why would you want to put Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in front of the country?
May I give you a reason?
Sure.
Because they know that the body politic of the Democratic Party, the real fervent ones, are angry. And so they want angry people. But Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are part of the old guard. So they're leaving. So they can appear to be angry. They don't want the new guard to appear angry.
Okay, maybe. I mean, because
I struggled trying to figure out why you would do that, because that seems like such poor strategy. And why wouldn't you put a new face in there?
Right. Why wouldn't you put a potential 2020 candidate in there?
Why wouldn't you put a Hispanic in that role? Why would you go with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi?
Right. And maybe it's because they realize there's a risk of this looking like politics as usual, so they don't want to expose it to somebody.
And they want to be real angry. They want to charge this as racism, et cetera, et cetera. So let the old guard do that.
But I mean, almost like you let Schumer do that. I mean, say what you want about Nancy Pelosi's policies, but she constantly looks insane. Let's be honest about it. Her eyes are five times larger than the average person's. They're super bright all the time. She clearly is doing something, whether it's plastic surgery or heavy Botox or whatever it is. Her smile is bizarrely fake. She is just a strange system.
She's like a bad avatar.
Yeah. Why not put on someone who, maybe you're not, if I can understand that, that's a somewhat logical idea, right? You want to, if they are self-aware enough, which is difficult for me to believe, but maybe they are, self-aware enough to say, look, we don't want to put one of our new fresh faces for 2020 in this environment because it's a bad environment. People will associate them with negativity. Mm-hmm. Let's just go out there and take the hit. My guess is more than that, they just want to be on TV as the people who want to oppose Donald Trump.
That's what I really believe.
Yeah.
I really believe these two egos are in it. That's why there's two people, you know, because Chuck was like, I should do it. Nancy, I should do it.
Yeah.
And they're okay, both of you, neither one of you will compromise or shut up and sit down. You'll both do it.
Do we have a word yet is if they're going to alternate syllables for the entire speech?
I don't know, but we're counting syllables. We'll be counting syllables tonight to see if it was evenly dispersed or dispersed in favor of the woman.
Mm. Or against the woman. It's either sexism or anti-Semitism. Yeah, whoever gets less syllables.
We're not sure which it will be, but we'll find out tonight.
Relief Factor is our sponsor. Yeah. Relief Factor is something that has made Glenn a lot less irritating to deal with. Frankly.
Thank you. Relief Factor, actually celebrating my one-year anniversary with Relief Factor. They've been sponsors for a long time, but I just was stubborn and didn't try anything until my wife finally said, try it, because she just couldn't take it anymore. And so I tried Relief Factor last December. Take it three times a day. Been taking it for a year. My pain has greatly subsided. It is so worth trying. 100% drug-free, created by doctors. Four key ingredients help with inflammation. It's Relief Factor. Please try it. Get your life back. 70% of the people who tried the 3-week quick start go on to order more month after month because it works like it does with me. $19.95 right now. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I remember when I was a kid, we were at a local parade, and a veteran, he was dressed up in the VFW outfit with the little hat, and he dropped dead of a heart attack right in front of me. And I must have been about 8. And I'll never, ever forget it. It's different when you're young and people have a heart attack. It's something entirely different when it is your friend. Jeff Fisher, who has been with this show for almost 20 years, he almost dropped dead of a heart attack over the holiday. He had a massive heart attack. About 80 or 90% of the people who have a heart attack of his size don't make it alive to the hospital. He did, and he's back in his chair today. We'll talk to him about what that experience is like, what he learned, and basically an hour of fatness, all jam-packed into the Glenn Beck Program as we begin right now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor this half hour. We've cleared out a lot of the commercials in this first half hour, so we only have to break twice for a minute each and then be able to come right back to the show. This half hour, it is Goldline. Goldline reminds you, hey, have you looked at the stock market lately? Yeah, lots of fun. It's on a rocky ride, and the government shutdown, what happens tonight even, how are all of these going to affect the stock market? The things that are going on right now and in the next year are a little unsettling. I've pulled 75% of everything that I've had in my 401k. I pulled it out of the stock market here over the holidays. And I would recommend that you look into what you're doing with money. As you pull things out of your 401k, where do you put it? You pull it out of your IRA. Where do you put it? Because I don't really believe in cash either. Gold is the place that the world always runs to when there is insanity afoot. And I think we are going from chaos to absolute mayhem and insanity in 2018. I highly recommend,
or 2019,
mm-hmm. I highly recommend that you find out if gold or silver is right for you. Please call Goldline now. Ask about their gold legal tender bar and the silver maple flex. It is a great bar. The only people that have them, Goldline. And you can keep it like a credit card in your wallet.
Really cool.
866 Goldline comes from the Canadian Mint. It was made for this audience, honestly, by the Canadian Mint. It's really spectacular. 866 Goldline. 866 Goldline or goldline.com. Break for 10 seconds, Station ID. So it's early in the morning up at the ranch, and my whole family and my grandkids and everybody's around, and I walk out into the main room, and I said, everybody, we have to say a prayer, and everybody on your knees. And my family just looked at me, and I said, Jeffy has just had a heart attack, and it's a big one. And by the end of the prayer, most of us were in tears because we just love him dearly. And we were greatly concerned about you, Jeffy.
Thank you. The support, the overwhelming support between coworkers and listeners and viewers of this network was unbelievable. And, you know, proof that, you know, well wishes and thoughts and prayers work.
Yeah. So tell me what it was like that morning. You got up in the morning and Amber told me you were sitting on the edge of the bed.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting on the edge of the bed and the pain in my chest was not going away. Up a couple days.
Yeah, you know, how many days of pain did you ignore before you were sitting on the bed and wondering whether you should go to the hospital?
A couple that I remember.
So for 2 days you were having heart pain.
Well, a little bit. I mean, it went away. So it's just...
I know you that think, you told
me. Go, oh, yeah, oh, it's going away. Okay, you're fine. And then you just move on. You don't have to just, you're fine.
Uh-huh. You convince okay. yourself that it's
you,
not
you
a,
do convince
is
yourself.
It a pain. Is it a pain like you've ever felt before?
Not really. I mean, you really, honestly, looking back on it, it was dumb not to do something. Dumb not to go see somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you realize that that's not right. You know, that's just not, that's not the pain of hurting yourself while you sleep.
You know, it's not the pain of indigestion right. or heartburn.
Right. And so the morning of the pain that would not stop, it just doesn't stop. There's no way you just, I mean, it starts in your chest and it stays there and continues.
Down your arms.
You know, I didn't have so much of that. It was more just complete pressure on my chest, nonstop pain all over, you know, the entire chest.
So
and,
Amber
then
said,
feel, then you know, you feel nauseous and like you're going to throw up, and that's
some profuse sweating. I understand. As
absolutely,
well.
Mm-hmm. Big time sweating, more than usual.
Right.
In
yeah.
fact,
yeah.
that was even
which
brought up.
I'm surprised your family didn't drown. If it was more than usual, I'm surprised that the lifeguard wasn't called out.
Well, the shirt was still, I believe, the shirt was still sopped yeah. after a couple of days. There's no doubt.
So you told Amber not to call 911.
The first time, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll be fine. I'll just see if it goes away. And then the last no was more of a no yes call.
Yeah.
You know, it was no.
Oh, wow. So no, no means yes to you. Okay. We're learning an awful lot.
I've believed in that forever, Glenn. I think you know that.
So, so she said that your pulse had gotten down to, I think, 45.
Oh, whatever. I mean, it was down to nothing. Yeah. I mean, it was really bad. And
she said it stopped a few times.
I believe that. And in transit, you know, once they, you know, once we called 911 and the, you know, rescue, fire rescue and the ambulance people were all there within, I don't know, 5 minutes, maybe. I don't know how long it took them to get there. I know that we live in some strange area that it took three transfers on 911 to get to the right 911 for my wife. So wow. She was freaking out. Mm-hmm. And I know that it probably was pretty fast.
Yeah.
But it just even, seems... Right. You know, when you call 911, mm-hmm. it's like you want something now. Mm-hmm. And, hold on. We got to transfer you. Hold. I'm going to transfer you. Please hold. She's screaming at the phone. But they, you know, relatively fast. And then in transit from my home to the hospital, I apparently went off the deep end farther, close to the end. And then once we got to the hospital,
do you remember it?
I remember leaving the neighborhood. I remember looking out the window saying, oh, this is the way they're leaving the neighborhood. And then I remember going into the hospital. Hmm. I remember them banging on the door of the ER because the ER door wouldn't open. I remember that. I remember that with the fire rescue going, hey!
To be fair, though, a lot of businesses have rules to not open the door for you.
Yeah.
So that's just...
Jeff Fisher. I believe there's a restraining order here.
This is very possible.
Right.
And so you didn't go into the normal ER situation, right?
I did not. We went straight into surgery, right? Straight into the cath lab for heart surgery. To be honest, but I haven't seen paperwork or a bill or nothing.
Oh, it's not coming. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine.
I mean.
No, it's coming.
Oh, it's coming. I know there's going to end up at the front door, you know, in probably giant bags of papers.
That's the first thing. When I heard that was the first thing we called HR to make sure that you did not have any problem with paperwork. I can't imagine
having Amber
stand there with paperwork. So, but it's coming.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I believe that. But I'm just saying it was amazing. I mean, there was nothing. You know, I mean, it went straight in and right to the surgery. And they had one on the left side was 100% blocked. That's the widowmaker, as they call it. And apparently there's a reason they call that the widowmaker, because when it gets 100% blocked, you die. And if it's not attended to fast enough, right? I mean, if you don't get to it in time. If someone, you know, believes that no means no in your world and doesn't call 911, you're dead, right? I mean, that's as simple as that. They got there in time to fix it.
Your life flashed in front of your eyes?
Not really.
Did you?
You know, this was so funny. I remember Pat reminded me this morning when he came to the hospital is that I don't remember ever thinking this was it. It didn't flash between my eyes. I don't remember. I didn't ever think, oh, this is it. I'm going to die. I never thought that.
I
wonder if that's why you are alive. I wonder if that, whatever it is in you that made you not think that, is what helped you carry on.
It's very possible. I mean, I never thought that. I mean, I obviously, you know, I mean, it's scary and you're having a heart attack and I'm, you know, kind of freaking out and going through whatever you go through when you have the heart attack and the chest is hurting and I just want it to stop and I want it to be fixed. But I never thought, oh, this is it. I'm never going to see anybody again. So let's get this over with.
One of the things we talked at your place the past weekend, you mentioned, which I thought was really interesting, was it's kind of like they brought you in and they did their job and cleared out the problems. And then you're kind of like, they kind of reset it. You're kind of like, if they had just known, let's say 2 weeks earlier that you had this blockage, you would have still had the surgery, but you wouldn't have had the heart attack. You would be back. I mean, remember this happened, what, 10 days ago, 12, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And here you are, you're back at work.
We're from the generation, we're probably the last generation where something like this, you don't come back
from. Knocks you out.
You're done. You're done. You would have had double bypass surgery.
Double
bypass surgery was like, that was crazy.
Yeah. And that's last resort stuff now. I mean, I don't even think
they do it, do they?
I think they do. I think they break your chest open once in a while if you need it in for particular cases.
What, a new one?
But I guess so. Yeah, if they're going to put in like that, I had a stent put in the one valve, and the other valve they cleaned out, And I learned yesterday that they left a couple of valves on the other side of my heart that were like 30 or 40% blocked. They're going to leave those because they'll clean themselves out now. You'll be fine.
Oh, they'll clean themselves out.
They'll clean themselves out now with the new medication.
They put little scrubbing bubbles in there?
Yes, they did. That's the medication I have now is scrubbing bubbles.
Right.
And it's just doing its work.
Right, right.
I mean, they have me on some kind of, blood thinner. I can't, a mosquito bites me, I'm dead. don't cut yourself, don't cut yourself. That's it. They said that side, that'll clean it out now that we've got the other sides working good. You could. Okay.
Thank
you.
All right.
It's
so
incredible
now,
how far medicine has come. I mean, it really is amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, Ray Kurzweil said, Glenn, just stay alive until 2030. Then you'll never die. I mean, that's...
I don't know if I want that either, to be honest.
I don't want that either. But I mean, that's how far medicine is going to go.
Yeah.
And we're just at this steep, steep curve. We'll come back and talk about changes now. And changes that our wives are now yelling at us about because of you. We'll get into that here in just a second. Right now, I'd like to talk to you about just sitting in your chair all day.
Yes.
That's the thing.
I've been a fan of that for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting in your chair, here is the thing. You spend more time in your chair than you do in bed if you're working. That's crazy. That is crazy.
A lot of time. You better be comfortable while you're sitting there.
Yeah, and we are. We have the new X chair, and they're launching a brand new model for a limited time, available only to this audience at xchairbeck.com. They have the Super X chairs, which have, I think they fly. I mean, you wanted the flying car? I think that's the Super X chair. I'm not sure if it does fly, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did. They have the best ergonomic support and comfort. This comes in the super chairs and also in the dynamic X Basic. Okay, that's the one I would suggest. If you can't afford the top of the line that flies, you might want to get the X Basic. It is great. They've just started making them. You still get the optional headrest. You still get the optional rocking tension control, which is really good, unlike any other chair. You've got the adjustable lumbar support. And it's a new year, so start it off the right way with a chair that provides ultimate comfort. You get $100 off the X chair right now. Plus, you'll get, if you use the promo code Beck, you're also going to get a free footrest as well. Use the promo code Beck for the free footrest. Visit xchairbeck.com or call 844-4XCHAIR. 10-second station ID. So we were up in the mountains until Sunday, and this happened what day?
The 28th. What is that, a Thursday or Friday? Something like that.
Had to drive down. We just got a text message. We can get text messages, but I can't make any phone calls up in the mountains. So I had to drive 20 minutes, freaking out. I called Amber right away, and then I called Pat and Stu. And Stu ended the conversation with.
Basically, it's different when someone who's like a peer, a friend, this happens to it. It changes the way you think about the life. I don't know how much longer we can do this to our bodies.
Right. That's exactly what he said. We can't do this to our bodies anymore. We're not young anymore.
Very disappointing. I'd just like to apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to apologize to you.
Thank you.
To Stu, but I'll apologize to you.
No. And actually, Jeffy, it's good. I've got to lose 50 pounds. What did the doctor say to you?
They are, they have obviously, they lose weight and eat right and get exercise and get right and get your heart stronger. We're all,
the way you're saying
we're in the
that
right
sounds
place.
Like
we're
it
in the right
like
place.
You're not really
shot across the bow. It's a warning.
Right.
It's all good.
Right.
We could do something about it. But they really were most concerned about there was another, thing that I involved myself in over the years that
you're not narrowing it down when it comes to you. Would you like to?
They were most concerned with the smoking.
Mm-hmm. And that's a habit you picked back up, right?
I
had kicked that out.
I know.
Nobody smokes around me. I didn't know you had started smoking again.
And it's just, And so that's what they're most concerned with, is that the smoking, stop the smoking, 100%. You can put a patch on, you can chew, don't smoke, don't vape, don't do none of it. No smoking.
So you're done with the smoking. Have you actually stopped?
Yeah.
No vaping, too. Vaping is supposedly.
They made a point of that. They made a point of that. I know Stu and I talked about this the other day about the vaping, because I don't know that they know anything.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know that there's any actual deep studies that prove that.
I think the science on it, honestly, is pretty favorable towards vaping as far as a replacement. I mean, it's much lower on the risk sort of scale. But again, that doesn't mean a person who just had a heart attack should take it up. I think if you could stop, it's better. I mean, I think
where they're at, right?
Yeah, a lot of these companies talk about that, in that, like, this is a way to stop. It's not necessarily something, it's certainly not something you should just start from scratch. Like, if you're not smoking, don't start vaping. Mm-hmm. But if you are smoking, vaping is probably better. Though for you, coming out of a massive heart attack,
don't vape.
Right.
Zero smoking of any.
Yeah, you should not even go to Los Angeles.
So that right. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kills the rave parties that I've been going to.
Oh, I know.
But that's only second.
So nothing about
smoke.
The cocaine and the heroin.
They did talk a little bit about supplements at one point yesterday with the heart
supplements.
Doc. The heart doc did point out a few things about some of the supplements, but that's about it.
What are
Yeah. What are the supplements?
Vitamins. Glenn, vitamins are supplements. Vitamins.
So he's taking shady products like made in Mongolia.
Are you taking like rhino horn?
No, those are illegal.
Yeah.
So did they, I mean, you know, we've occasionally mentioned on this program before your weight.
We've mentioned that?
Yeah, I think once or twice. If longtime listeners might remember this.
Now we have
this show?
Yeah, on this show.
Huh.
Did they say to you like, hey.
Now your wife, notoriously.
I know.
Likes fat men, which...
Or likes
at the
fat,
Christmas
at
wine, I at know. The Christmas party. Do you know what she said? Do you know what she said?
No, I don't.
She came up to me and she said, you are looking great. I was immediately like, I have got to lose weight. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the moment.
No, yeah. You were looking great. She didn't really mean that.
Yeah.
She did not really mean that.
Yeah. So I thought, wow, I am as big as a house. I've got to stop. So, but she likes her men plump.
And she does. And look, yeah. And she's a fan of starting to eat right and do things right now. Health wise,
but she is also a notoriously good cook of all the things you should not have.
I know.
So is that stopping? Are you going to make a change in this realm?
I already have, Stu.
Oh my gosh, look at that. He is going to die.
He'd rather die than stop eating Twinkies. Yeah. That's what we're seeing.
I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year.
You're going to lose 50 pounds this year.
I'm going to lose 50 pounds.
Good. I mean, it's important.
Want to join me?
Oh, Glenn. But are we out of time?
Wow.
Of course I'm going to. I'll lose it. It's easy. 50 pounds. I can do 50 pounds.
How much weight should you? How much? Because you were really svelte for a while.
Yeah, you lost, over 100 pounds?
Over 100 pounds, yeah. And then I gained about 75, 80 back.
So after you gained how much?
See, once in a while there's fat jokes.
Yeah.
Just fly around.
Right. Right. But I mean, okay, 70 pounds from where you were, I don't think so. Maybe a little bit more than that.
Okay.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Got a lot of water weight you're holding on to.
Well, I'm hollow inside.
Yeah.
So do you have a plan? Do you have a goal in mind of what you want to do? Is it?
They actually, right now, the docs were more concerned with, let's get the heart healthy and let's, start exercising and start getting that back, and everything else will follow.
And the smoking. Okay. No smoking.
No, yeah.
So what are you doing for 100%. Exercise?
That's 100%. They put me in some place I have to go to now, some heart rehab place. So whatever I have to go with what they say. I know.
I just started using a rower.
Oh, I used to love those.
Like, yeah.
Frank Underwood.
I have to.
Yeah.
I have the one Frank Underwood had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, those are great.
Started using it. It will wipe you out.
Oh, yeah.
And if you do 5 minutes a day, you do 5 minutes a day twice a day.
Do they recommend more than just 5 minutes?
No, actually, it's like 10 minutes. They say 10 minutes a day, and it is
high intensity.
Full body workout.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm up to 4. And then I just want to kill myself.
I don't
have the strength of the energy to be able to reach for a knife or anything deadly. All right, Jeff Fisher, thank you so much. God bless you.
Hello.
I love you too. Back in just a minute.
Not me. Okay, thanks, Jimmy.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Man, if he would have died, can you imagine how tragic that would have been to hear that? Oh, my gosh.
We would have kept that forever.
We would have. We'd be like, get alone, because Jeffy, he's gone now. Anyway, American Financing. American Financing is a group that started with me in about 2008 or 2009. They wanted to start in 2006, but I wouldn't take them because I didn't believe in mortgage companies. And they kept saying, we're not that kind of mortgage company. We work for the client, not the bank. I said, uh-huh. Call me after the collapse. They did. They didn't have problems. People didn't have problems because they didn't do stupid loans. They work for you. Call them now if you're looking to refi or your brand new home, first home, AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net or call 800-906-2440.
While he's still here doing it, you should listen to Jeff Fisher's podcast. It's called Chewing the Fat with Jeffy. Get it on iTunes right now.
Extra fat. So we're talking to Jeff Fisher, who had a heart attack over the holiday. And we have a friend who went in for a full body scan and, you know, got one of those things where they check you, you know, every which way. Scan came back, said that he had four places of skin cancer and had some heart blockage, like 70% heart blockage. It was right before Christmas. He decided to go to somebody about the skin cancer, and he would, after the holidays, do something about the heart, and he died last week. I mean, the heart is just, you know, nothing happens if you don't have the heart. We were surprised to find that Jeffy does have one.
Mm-hmm.
As it stopped working.
There were several people that commented on that.
Mm-hmm.
Even throughout the overwhelming response of well wishes and prayers, many people were surprised that I actually had one.
Yeah.
I caught the joke.
And the heart wasn't black either. It was actually...
Well, I don't know. I just remember the one that the doc showed me when I was laying there, when he showed me a picture of the heart pre-surgery, and there was, you know, this big blockage, black blob up there that he showed me, and I can't find where that picture is now.
Was it a cheesesteak?
It very well could have been.
Yeah.
Well could have been.
I'll say, though, I think I'm a huge believer in this being the future of medicine, you know, what Princeton Longevity Center does and others, where they'll do these full-day physicals on you. And, you know, the biggest thing with Jeffy is, like, If you had done this scan, a full body scan, they do it for all the cancers, they do it for the 3D picture of your heart with all the blockages, they know where everything is. It's all the tests that happen to you after you get a heart attack,
right?
They do before you get it. So then they can see that it might be coming. Mm-hmm. And the only barrier here at this point is cost.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's hard to afford for a lot of people. But at some point, we're not far away from this being a regular part of everyone's lives, where they can scan for this stuff and catch it way before you get to 100%.
It's so much more cost effective to do it before.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, as soon as insurance companies are like, you know what, it makes more sense for us to do this with everybody prior to than it does, you know, after, because they're going to be in you know, intensive care for, what were you, in a day and a half?
A couple days.
You know, it's a lot less expensive,
and the cost will come down once it becomes more and more common. It really is. It's one of those things, because heart disease still is, it's one of the biggest causes of our medical costs, along with death, obviously. And that's one that, between that and cancer, catching those things early, they can cure them early. We don't, you know, most of the time you're not testing for them until you have a problem or you notice something. And at that point, sometimes it's hard to actually deal with.
So Pat and I, and more Pat than me, I've only gotten the looks from the family. And it helps because before you had a heart attack, I said, I've got to lose 50 pounds. And
that's going. So you laid a little bit of groundwork before the heart attack, so you're good. You still laid that. Well, you,
some might question if I knew in advance, but I'm not talking. So I just got the looks. You know, boy, Jeffy's got to change the way. You know, he's got to start exercising, and then I get the whole family looking at me like,
"How about you, fat man?"
Yeah, exactly right.
So Pat, thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome. And then Pat, Jackie is
all over.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry.
She's
like, I apologize.
She's, you know.
We've got books to read, and yeah. This is the food you're going to eat, and you're not going to eat that, and this is what we're doing.
Yeah. You got to read the book. I don't want to die. Well, I do want to die if you keep telling me to read the book. I do want to die. I'm looking for a way out now. You're serving me kale. I want to die.
So Jackie is pressuring Pat to eat better and through this. You're getting this, obviously.
I am getting pressured as well.
Are you getting anything, Stu? I haven't had too much.
Yeah, she
I'll call.
She's kind of...
She eats really well. That's
the
problem.
She doesn't really. She doesn't need you.
No, definitely not. There's no doubt about that. I'm definitely bringing the.
Tanya says, you know, Tanya's been pretty cool about this. And I think it's because Tanya's like, I ain't got to lose it anytime. I'm good.
Yeah. She's
good.
Okay.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I've had my share on that one.
So why 50 pounds? Did you pick that number randomly?
No, because that puts me back to where I should be. Maybe 70. puts me back to about 215.
Right. So you're in the area where you're in striking distance. Of,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, the lowest weight I've ever been was 208.
208.
I mean, outside of high school.
Was that CNN headline news?
That was headline 208, yeah. And I've never there's a couple pictures of those days. No, that's scary.
And I've never gotten back to 210 even. I mean, I just can't. Get back to 210, but I've hit a place to where I can't for some reason lose the weight. I've tried really hard. I can't lose the weight. And
for
I've
me
gotten
either.
This,
want some ice cream?
Yeah. Well, no. I've put on a lot because I've just given up. I've just been like, fine. And that's not a good place to be. But I've tried for a long time to lose the weight, and I just can't do it. And I've also been in a place to where my doctor, and this was the greatest day of my life, I said, could you call my wife, please, and tell her this? I don't want you doing any exercise at all. No exercise. I'm like, oh, my gosh, could you write that down?
We need a prescription.
I need a tape. Or I need to hang on just a sec. Say that into my phone, please. Call my wife. I need you. Is there a Bible around? Because I'll swear to I will follow you to the letter right now.
Is this a real doctor or someone you found behind
Mexico? He was in Mexico. Okay. He's still a real doctor.
That's what I'm hanging on the wall says he is.
Right. So what I want to do is I don't want to try to lose weight with a bunch of people who are like I want to lose weight with a bunch of people who are like me. You know what I mean? It's like if you go into a gym. I'm not going into a gym, by the way. But if you go into a gym, you know, then then you're the fat person that everybody looks at. You know what I mean? I don't want to be around. I don't want to be the fat person. I want to lose weight with people, and only people who have experienced this know. Mm-hmm. I want to lose weight with people who are out of breath when they roll over in bed at night.
It's funny you mention that, Glenn. But I'm here for you.
Yeah. You know, when you're like, whew.
I don't really have to sit up now, do I?
Yeah. I mean, whoa, that was a workout.
And you mean all the way over? Because I think everyone who rolls all the way over is out of breath. Yeah, you're saying halfway? Like
you know, when you're thinking, I just can't roll over. I'm going to be winded. Then I'm going to have to sleep an extra hour.
Or like,
you know,
when
I'm looking for those people.
Like when you're lying in bed and you're thinking, I really have to go to the bathroom, but there's so many steps. There's just so many steps. If I just stay here, maybe I can hold it until morning.
I've always been that way. See, here's my biggest problem is I have always said, I don't know if you remember me saying this, but I've always said I'd be happy if I was just a brain in a jar. I don't like the whole body thing. You know, I'd be happy. Put a book in front of, I have to have an eye or two, maybe a mouth. Okay. I'd be happy if I was just a head.
You need
in
the
Wall-E
seat, right? Yeah. The movie for Wall-E with the guys in the
exactly
seats.
Right.
Yeah, so you aspire to the negative side of that
I
movie.
Have now that my body doesn't work so well, I've adjusted that thinking that's not good. No, I would not be happy as a head in a jar.
Really?
Yeah, no.
I would think you'd be rejecting your body more than ever, like others are.
Yeah.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. I just had a conversation with Tanya before the show. Sorry.
Yeah, no. By the way, it's our 19th anniversary.
Today. Oh, that's perfect. Right. Perfect timing for that joke.
Yeah, it is. Because I think she's probably like, oh, God. I don't have to anymore, do I? I think I've done my tour of duty.
We just came back from vacation.
Tour of duty. God. How many years is it? A lot.
19.
19.
That 19. Great.
That's amazing. I cannot.
It's 19 years and 2 days, Jeffy. 19 years and 2 days that I said my first words in talk radio full time. Do you remember what they were?
I wasn't listening to you then.
I know. He was the producer. He was the board op. And I said, I think by taking this job, I may have made the biggest mistake in my life.
It's a good way to introduce yourself to an audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's how I was feeling, because I thought, this ain't ever going to work out.
As I know, that's the way I was thinking.
And at 5:30, I did a bit, and Jeffy just looked through the glass, and I was dying, just dying. And it was a wheel of
meat, I think. But
No, wheel of disease. No, it was a wheel of blame. Wheel of blame. And the concept was, this is before PC got way out of control. The concept was, we had to pick a story, and then I would spin the wheel of blame, and it would come up with, like, white men or Native Americans. Right. And I would have to take the story and and adjust it into that. Now that's the easiest game. Now it's all done all the time with the news. And it was just dying and going nowhere. And I looked at Jeffy like, good God, help me, man. Take me out to a spot. And I pointed, and he hesitated. And
shook my head.
He did. He just looked through the grass and shook his head like, you disgust me.
I'm in. Let's do the diet thing, though.
All right.
This gets us off the hook.
All right. We'll talk about it some more the next couple of days, and then maybe next week we'll start it officially. All right.
Maybe not next week. Maybe in a few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, let's
Super Bowl's coming up. Then Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, we'll start at some point. And then you got Christmas right around the corner.
Right.
Anyway, relief factor. Relief factor. If you're in a lot of pain, try relief factor. Get your life back. I was at a point a year ago, and this is, you know, when the doctor was like saying, don't move. Do you have to move? Don't move. Where I just couldn't take the pain anymore. And I just didn't want to take all of the things that, well, you know, Jeffy is taking. So I started with Relief Factor. It was my wife nagging me, quite honestly, that made me start taking it.
It's the only reason you do anything.
I know. It's 100% drug-free, and it's like, what? If Dow Chemical isn't involved in this in some way or another, it ain't going to work. but it does. It has four key ingredients that helps your body fight against inflammation, which is one of the biggest problems that we have in all of our health. But if you have neck pain, shoulder pain, back pain, whatever your pain is, try this. 70% of the people that try the quick start for 3-week trial period, they go on to order more month after month after month. I do. I've been on it now for a year. Get your life back. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It's relieffactor.com. You know, for an organization with parenthood in its name, Planned Parenthood doesn't seem very interested in parenting at all. That's why they have to save most of their ire to fight any effort to limit abortion at all. Remember, any opposition to Planned Parenthood is automatically construed as being against women's health. You just don't want women to get, you know, basic health care. No, that's not true. You're just part of the white patriarchy. Well, that's probably true. But think about where we are in this debate, if you can even call it a debate anymore. Defending unborn humans means you're against women's rights. The left is genius at twisting logic and then making that twist mainstream. And for an organization that claims to care so deeply about basic female issues, Planned Parenthood focuses most of its firepower and resources on defending abortion. That's what they are. They're abortion houses. The last example is their billboard campaign across Iowa to try to get people to, quote, say abortion. Go ahead. Say abortion. Just let it roll off the tongue and feel the stigma of murder fade away. Say abortion is their new campaign. Planned Parenthood says, we're shifting the narrative so all people can talk openly about abortion. No, that's not true. You don't want me talking about abortion. Say murder. Planned Parenthood is waging their billboard war because the governor of Iowa recently signed into law one of the strictest abortion laws in the nation, known as the Fetal Heartbeat Law, which bans abortions in the state after the baby's heartbeat is detected, which can be as early as 6 weeks. Now, the notion that it might be a baby human in there with a heart would mean that we would might want to protect it from death. The law hasn't taken effect, pending a lawsuit from Planned Parenthood. And that's why they put the billboards up. It features the face of a woman who supposedly had an abortion next to a quote saying, "I had an abortion and I'm not apologizing." Another version says, "I had an abortion and it was just health care." You know, most people agree. And when you get down to 6 weeks, that's where it starts to fall apart. But that line keeps getting further and further back as technology grows. It's interesting that we don't see a Planned Parenthood billboard urging women to get that mammogram or cholesterol check. When's the last time you saw that? Abortion is the only billboard-worthy cause for Planned Parenthood because abortion is profitable as an industry. It is the cause that keeps them in business. Isn't that the most grotesque thing you've ever heard? Yes, Planned Parenthood is zealously devoted to women's health and defending women's rights. Not the health and the rights of women that are still in the womb. Not mammograms. Just abortions. The women still in the womb are apparently expendable. Because they're not women yet. They're just babies. With the potential of being a woman. Or a man.
Or one of the other 94 genders.
Thank you for saying it.
I want to make sure
somebody needed to say it.
That's really an incredible thing. You're right, too. I mean, people generally do not support abortion past the first trimester. Only 28% of people supported in the second trimester, and only 13% of people supported in the third trimester. So the mainstream, the actual policy of the Democratic Party is supported by 13% of the American people. They do not have a lot of support.
I would say that was even less because the Democratic Party won't even stand against partial birth abortion.
It's true. I mean, and that would be even less, right? But it is, it's one of those issues that, you know, people just don't like to talk about. And so it doesn't get any conversation. But I think a lot of these billboards and these crazy things are a positive for us because you really have to be, you should be proud of it if it's nothing. You know, it's either nothing or the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
And if you think it's nothing, well, then of course you can go put up billboards all you want. I mean, I don't know how you justify that mentally, but go ahead.
But what they say is we should have a conversation about it. I'm perfectly willing to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Without any name calling.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. They're not.
No, they want a conversation in which they are talking and no one else is.
Yes. And that's the problem with America, is everybody just wants your side to be heard and nobody else's side to be heard. And with Planned Parenthood, that's the way they've grown into the monstrous corporation that they are.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.